I want to read you several scriptures. Try to retain the substance of these verses. I will explain why these particular verses are read later on, but now we'll read them. First of all, from John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And greater works than these will he show him, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son also giveth life to whom he will. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a Son of Man. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, and so forth. Now, chapter 8. Chapter 8, look at verse 28. Jesus therefore said, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father taught me, I speak these things. Now, in chapter 12, verse 49, For I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me. He hath given me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. All right, I want us to see in Matthew, turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and notice the charge against the Lord Jesus in verse 24. His enemies say this, But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This man doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Verse 27, Jesus is speaking now. He says, If I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I by the Spirit of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. And two more scriptures. Turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Perhaps the others that you should have read to you shall be quoted to you as we go along. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves know. And the last verse, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Peter, talking of our Savior, says, Even Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that the things that we need to know, Thou dost tell us. Thou dost know that there are many things about which we are curious, and you tell us nothing, because it is not necessary for us to know these things. But for what we should know, you have set it before us, and we have read some of these things this morning, and we desire to understand them. We confess, our Father, how hard it is to let thy word and thy spirit be our teacher, how many preconceived ideas we come with, sincere, honest, and yet we are so thankful that thy word is true. So let us, given wisdom by the Spirit who inspired these scriptures, let us understand this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We are thankful for those who are here this morning. Prepare their hearts to receive the truth, and let them not be disappointed, but feed thy lamb and thy sheep, and empower him whom you have honored to speak, and cleanse from sin, because you promised that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And in that confidence, Father, we stand before thee as thy servant. Hear us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. After I spoke last week on the divine attributes of Christ, a question that could not have been better or more logical was asked me, and it was this. I told you that Jesus possessed divine attributes. And this is the question that was so excellent and logical. If Jesus possessed all the divine attributes, why does it say, all power is given unto me? If Jesus had that power, why was it given unto him? Couldn't be a better question, a more logical question. And I will give you the answer to that question in one word. Incarnation. Now, let me ask you a question. Unless you had ascertained from the Old Testament how God existed, would you have ever known that he was sitting on a throne and that there were seraphim crying out day and night, holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty? How many of you would have known God's existence unless God told you? You wouldn't know that, would you? But God told you. Unless God demonstrated in the Old Testament and through creation that he was omnipotent and told us that he was omniscient and omnipresent, how many of you would have known that just intuitively? None of you would. You know absolutely nothing about the existence of God from all eternity unless God tells you from his word. All right, let me ask you this. Having learned, and this is what is so good, and this is the danger, having ascertained from the Old Testament that God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and you have learned how God exists as God, how is it that you would presume to think that you knew how God, who was going to become man, would exist on earth after he became man? What makes you presume to think that he would live as God once he became flesh? Why would you presume to think that? How would you know how he was going to live? You say, why? I just thought that is why God has given us all of these scriptures. What has happened is that my dear brethren that are so jealous for the deity of Christ, and no one is more jealous than I of the deity of Christ, these dear brethren, in being zealous for his deity, are destroying his humanity. and to what I must do. Inasmuch as the Word became flesh, I must be just as jealous for the humanity of Christ as I am for the deity of Christ. Or do you suggest that I set aside a little of his humanity so that I can magnify his deity? You say, no. Well, shall I set aside his deity that I may magnify his humanity? You say, no. Well, what must I do? I must present all that the Scripture says concerning him as to his deity and his humanity, and accept it as God presents it to us. But we are afraid. Understand this. You would think that when the Father tells us of his Son's weakness, because he was crucified through what? Through weakness, you understand? When the Lord Jesus Christ was hungry, when the Lord Jesus Christ was sleeping, you would say, this is God illustrating that Jesus did not possess divine attributes. That's entirely wrong. This is God illustrating that Jesus did possess human attributes. You say, why, of course. Not denying that he did not possess divine attributes, but he is insisting that we acknowledge that his Son possessed human attributes. Anybody believe that Jesus never slept when he was on earth? You say, no, they woke him up when he was in the ship. Anybody believe that Jesus was never hungry when he was on earth? You say, no, it says after he fasted 40 days, he hungered. Anyone deny that Jesus was weary? You say, no. It says in John chapter 4 that Jesus was wearied with his journey. Well then, the Father is telling us that the Word became flesh and the incarnation, that's the Word, once the Lord Jesus Christ became flesh, then he was going to subject himself to weariness, to weakness, to sleep. All of these things true of humanity, and he was made in all points like unto his brethren, apart from sin. But what happens is that my dear brethren are going to refuse to allow Jesus to be made in all things like unto his brethren. God is trying to tell you, I'm making my Son like unto his brethren, that he may be a merciful and faithful high priest. But all of those that are jealous for the deity of Christ are taking everything they can away from the humanity of Christ. And if that's so, then Jesus could never look down from heaven and say, I can enter into your weariness. Well, how can you, Jesus? Why, you've never been weary. You are omnipotent. That's a denial. God is trying to show you that his Son was weary, while at the same time being omnipotent. And if you say, I'm so sleepy. Why, the Lord Jesus himself was so sleepy that when a storm was on the sea, he was in the ship asleep, and they had to go and wake him up to still the storm. God is trying to show you that his Son was weak, that his Son was weary, that his Son was sleepy, that his Son was hungry, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. And you're doing everything in your power to take all these things away. And when you do, you are stripping the Savior of true humanity, and God is as insistent that he's truly man as God is as insistent that he is truly God. And so you have to accept them both as they contain or contain in his Word. Now, let me tell you the danger. Here is what you think. Though he was a son, though he was a son, and I showed you last week that when he's called the Son of God, it means that he's God the Son. Because in Hebrews 1:8, the Father says of the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. When he is the Son, he is God the Son. Having said that, though he was a son, well, how is he going to live? Here is the mistake we make. Inasmuch as we know that he is God manifest in the flesh, we presume to say, well, when he comes to earth, he must live as God. And that was the same presumption that Satan suggested to him in the temptation. You listen to it. Satan said, look, if you are the Son of God, why all of these privations. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. That's exactly what those that are jealous for the deity of Christ say. They say, you're the Son of God. Why, you're supposed to act this way or that way. The Lord Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, stated plainly how he was going to live. When Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. While Satan suggested, accept all the prerogatives of the Son, the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to assume all the responsibilities of man. And he has told us this plainly, and I must have read you six or more scriptures again and again telling us this, but we refuse to allow the Lord Jesus to live as the divine Godhead said he was going to live. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. All right. If he were God manifest in the flesh, if he chose, he could live as God. If he chose, he could live as man. Who are you to tell him how to live? Who am I to tell him how to live? So the only thing I do, since he's God manifest in the flesh, I read in the Bible and see how he lives. And he said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, yes, I am the Son. And by the way, Satan wasn't doubting it. He said, assuming you are the Son of God. He said, command these stones to be made bread. But this is what it says in Hebrews, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. Man is expecting him, his son, to have all sorts of exemptions. You are not to be hungry. Why, you are not to live in isolation and in obscurity. You are not to suppress your miraculous power. Cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. All of these things. This is what Satan said. He said, you are the Son of God. This is the way you are supposed to live. The Lord Jesus, while acknowledging that he was the Son of God, and I told you last week the times that our Savior called himself the Son of God, but while acknowledging that he was the Son of God, he said, I'm going to live like a man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So while we're insisting that since you are the Son, you must have exemptions and privileges, the Lord Jesus said, since I am the Son, become the Son of Mary as well. He said, I insist that I experience all the privations of those that have flesh and blood. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh, but in the likeness of it, with all the limitations. If the road had sharp rocks in it, then he walked on. They weren't salt for him. If he wanted to perform a miracle, the water in which you and I would sink, he could walk upon it. But unless miraculous intervention took place, he had all the experiences the same as you and I. And so you say, well then, you're saying that he possessed all the divine attributes when he was on earth? Yes, but I would bring this to your attention. He himself tells us some of the things and the variations of that statement that I made, like this. And you can quote it for me. It says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. How much money did he bring from heaven in his pockets when he was walking up and down on earth? If he wanted to show an illustration about rendering tribute unto Caesar, what did he have to do? He had to borrow a penny. He said, show me a penny. And concerning also the Lord Jesus being poor, he said, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You've heard of the ivory palaces of heaven? And so why, inasmuch as he created all things, did not the Father create some ivory palace in which the Lord Jesus could live on earth? Because they who is rich, yet for our sake he became poor. He tells you that. Now, another. In John chapter 17, the Savior is praying to his Father, and he says this. He says, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. he tells his Father in prayer, and inasmuch as we are privileged to read that prayer, he tells us that he left that glory. And he says, Father, I want it back. So, it is not that he did not have the glory. It is not that he did not have the wealth. But he did not bring the glory with him. He did not bring the wealth with him. But he came as a poor man. And he came as a man. And when we see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. For a brief hour, his glory was seen. The outward physical display. That is when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. But after that, he was seen as an ordinary man. And so the riches and the glory that he had before the world was, the Lord Jesus tells us, that they were laid aside. But laying aside wealth, if I'm wealthy, but I go downtown without money in my pocket, does that mean that I'm not wealthy? You say, no, you did not bring your wealth. You did not use it. And if I'm glorious, but I want to conceal that glory, does that mean that I have no glory? You say, no, you do not choose to manifest that glory. And in like manner, having told you that, and having told you about the other attributes that were essential to do what Christ did, here is what you would think the next step. All right. Then, since Jesus was going to live as man, he is the God-man, but since he's going to live as man, then, whenever he wanted to perform a miracle, he would draw upon his own inherent deity all of those attributes he possessed and perform miracles that way. But I've never read one verse anywhere in the Bible that he did it that way. That's why I read all these verses to you. He said, the Son of Himself can do nothing. As He sees, as He hears from the Father, it says these things He does. All right, this, remember carefully. It says in John 8, He said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself. He says twice in John chapter 5. He says in verse 19 and in verse 30, He says, the Son can of Himself do nothing. He says, I can of Myself do nothing. And he said in John chapter 12, he said, you are going to ascertain that the words that I speak unto you, they are not my words, but the Father giveth me the words to speak. How could it be any plainer? He could have, with his own inherent deity, known exactly what to say. But he tells us that the Father gave him the words to speak. And this, it says that the Lord Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. It says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I would have thought that since he knew, being omniscient, that he would of himself go into the wilderness. But it says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And that is why I read to you very carefully in Matthew chapter 12, coming from Christ's own lips, the way he did things. He was performing miracles, and as he performed the miracles, they could not be denied, but his enemies said, by Beelzebub, he casts out demons. The Lord Jesus said, don't you see the contradiction of this? He said, I do not cast out demons by Beelzebub. He said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, could it be plainer? How did he cast out demons? He said, I do it by the Spirit of God. I read you two verses in the book of Acts. It says in chapter 2, verse 22 of Acts, it speaks of Jesus of Nazareth. It says, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs which God did by him. And it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Lord Jesus Christ, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, all of these verses, how many times and how plain does God have to make it to us, showing us that he is God manifest in the flesh, but being manifest in the flesh, he is going to be a perfect illustration of the dependent man. He cast himself completely upon his Father, for all miracle, for all sustaining, for all learning, all things that Christ ever did were His by the will of the Father. And one other thing to show you, when the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, two things. When He was there, first of all, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do you not see it is the Father, and the Father and the Son have wills, and the Lord Jesus conforms His will to the Father's will, not mine, but thine be done. And again, when Peter is going to protect our Savior with the sword, the Lord Jesus says, put your sword into its sheath. Do you not think that I could ask my Father, and He would send me more than 12 legions of angels? If He were going to use His own deity, what do you think He would say? I can speak the word, I'm omnipotent, and can destroy all these sinners. But again, He is the dependent man, and He said, do you not realize that I could beseech my Father, and He would send me? God's word is presenting Christ before us as the dependent man, and man is doing everything in his power to make Him the independent son. But He is doing everything in His power to show you that He is the dependent man. And to show you how this will be resisted, when the Savior lays aside His garments and girds Himself with a towel and is going to wash the disciples' feet, Peter, seeing the incongruousness of it, says, you will never wash my feet. You understand? He cannot comprehend such a thing as the Lord Jesus Christ humiliating Himself. And yet the Savior said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Peter, thank God for this, he said, well, not my feet only, but my head and my hands. And the Lord Jesus said, he that is bathed needeth not save to wash his feet only, but is clean every whit. For this reason, men, thinking that since Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, He must live as God, but it was determined by the Godhead that when the Word who was with God and was God became flesh, as the Lord Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. And so here is Christ. How is He going to live? You don't know how He's going to live, and I don't know how He's going to live, but God knows how He's going to live, and the Lord Jesus has completely accepted all the restrictions when He became man. Completely accept them, because when Peter would protect Him from going to the cross, he said, put the sword into its sheath. The cup which the Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Listen to what he says in Luke's Gospel. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I restricted, fenced in, hedged in on every side, until it be accomplished? The Lord Jesus was aware of this. And so, I've given you all of these scriptures, showing you that the Savior was God's dependent man, not ever denying in the least, and all of these manifestations of His dependency as a man, not one of them deny that He is God. It is simply that how are you going to live as the incarnate one? I'm going to live as the dependent man. And instead of detracting from His deity, it's the most glorious thing conceivable for this reason. Take man, take our mother, Eve, and here is she in the garden, and there is something she does not have. Here is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there is something she does not have, and Satan says, if you take it, you'll be able to have something that God has that you do not have. If you eat of it, you'll become as God, knowing good and evil. And she saw that the fruit was the light of the eyes and good for food, and it was good to make one wise. She took it. You see, here is something she did not have, but she said, I'm going to get it. And here is the Lord Jesus, as it says in Philippians chapter 2, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. So here he is. He was equal with the Father. But when he was going to come to earth, he said, instead of displaying myself in all the glory that I have with you in this eternity, my Father, instead of that, I'm going to take the form of a servant. I'm going to be made in the likeness of man. Do you not see that? And inasmuch as he was made in the likeness of man and he took the form of a servant, then he said, you keep this glory for me. He said, I will take it back when I get back to heaven. The glory which I had with thee before the world was, Father, now you give it to me. It does not mean that he ever ceased to be God, but he did not desire to manifest himself in that glory, in his wealth, in his independent exercise of all the attributes that he possessed, but he was going to only exercise those attributes whenever his Father gave him the word. This is what it says in Luke's Gospel. It says, one day he was among his enemies, and it says, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. You see, at times, the Father supplies the power, and that is when he heals. And when in John chapter 5, he goes into the midst of all of these sick people, he could have healed them all. But he went to this one and he said, will you be made whole? You understand? He could have healed them all. But the Father said, this is the one I want you to heal, and that's what he did. I would say, well, listen, I'm here. I have that power at my disposal. Let me heal them all. The Lord Jesus never said anything about that. Now, if I were a preacher the way the Lord Jesus was, if I could perform miracles the way the Lord Jesus did, I would expect great results. But it says, after the Lord Jesus had performed his greatest miracles and people did not repent, he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, yea, Father, for so it was pleasing in your sight. And he accepted this. If the Father wanted him to perform a miracle, the Lord Jesus could do it. And at times, without being invited, he performed miracles. Without being asked, he forgave sin. The man who was a paralytic was let down in his presence, and he said, Son, your sins be forgiven thee. And others came and besought him the thing. Bartimaeus, I want to receive my sight. Certain ones asked him, at times without being asked, how did all this happen? It was under the direction of the Father. And this is what it says, and you know it, but you simply haven't taken it to mind. It says in Isaiah chapter 50, it says, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth mine ear. He wakeneth morning by morning to hear as the learned. The Lord Jesus is telling you that the Father woke him up in the morning and said, this is what I want you to do today. And the Lord Jesus did it. Now, here is something else that is inconceivable. But I will show you again that Christ never used his own power. When he was in the garden, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, in this state of agony and in this state of weakness, what was the source of his strength? Why, you say, being omnipotent, he drew on that omnipotence. It said, an angel came and strengthened him. How many times must God show us that while possessing all these attributes, he did not draw upon his own attributes. But if the Father wanted him to go hungry for 40 days, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. And if the Father wanted to weaken his strength in the way, he would accept that weakness until the Father sent an angel from heaven to strengthen him. And we are insistent that Jesus must feed himself, turn these stones into bread, and that Jesus in weakness must draw upon his own omnipotence. But the Lord Jesus said, I am determined absolutely to be the dependent man, and while being zealous for the deity of Christ, in reality, we are detracting from the most magnificent presentation that the Father could present of his Son, that is, of the obedient man. Every morning, there was a lamb offered, a burnt offering, on the altar. Every evening, there was a burnt offering, a lamb offered on the altar. But somehow we want to do away with that Christ and his obedience, his Son being obedient. We want to do away with that. But nothing pleased the Father more than the obedience of his Son to every command. There was nothing that the Father asked his Son to do that he would not do. If he said, I want you to go hungry, the Lord Jesus said, I go hungry. I want you to be weary, I will be weary. I want you to accept all the reproaches that men heap upon me. The Lord Jesus said, I will accept those reproaches. Because it says in Romans 15, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. There was nothing too great or sacrificial that the Father could ask of the Son that would not be accepted by the Son. And finally the Father said, I want you to go to the cross and bear in your body the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus said, thy will be done. If it's possible, Father, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And in that prayer, the Father again showing him the absolute necessity, even though he had preached it, again showing him the absolute necessity of his substitutionary death on the cross, the Lord Jesus refused to be delivered. He said, the cup which my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink? So no one is going to take these pictures that God has set forth in his word about his Son away from us. While making himself God, indeed, he cast himself upon God. Yes. And here is the marvel. You understand that our Savior, when he was born, had to be sustained by the arms of Mary and had to be fed by her breast. Can you imagine such a thing? But this is what it says in Hebrew. In the state of all of this weakness and all these restrictions, it says that while making atonement for our sin, it says this, he was upholding all things by the word of his power. Now try to comprehend that. In all his weakness, at the same time, he was upholding all things by the word of his power. He was God manifest in the flesh, and all of these things were occurring. You say, this is inconceivable, it's incomprehensible. Why, of course it is, because it says nobody knows the Son but the Father. The only thing I know about the Son is what the Father has revealed to me, and you cannot know the Son with your natural mind. Peter was spoken of as blessed because flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. But I know the Son, and you know the Son if you are saved. Why? Because this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou didst send. But nobody can plummet the depths of the incarnate Savior. The greatest compliment and the highest stature that is attainable is in the first epistle of John. He said, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you little children because you know the Father. I write unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the evil one. I write unto you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. The most difficult thing to comprehend is God manifest in the flesh. The word who was with God and was God became flesh and tabernacled among us, and the ability to know him. And those who are fathers do know him. And for that reason, I would not dare tell you one of these things unless I gave it to you from the word. And if you can satisfy what I say, by all means, do it. But if you do, here is what you will have to do. You are not able to show me, to my knowledge, yet I've looked and looked, for one thing that Christ ever did of himself, that he said to his Father, I had as much omnipotence as you, and so let me do it today with my own power. And I had as much omniscience as you, and so today, don't tell me anything, let me do it with my own omniscience. He never did that. The Lord Jesus always was cast upon his Father. He said this, he said, I can do nothing of myself. That is profound. He can do nothing of himself. You and I are constantly doing things of ourselves, displeasing God. He said, but the Father showeth me things. And he said, he's going to show me things. I remember telling Dr. Rose that. He said, the Father has shown his Son all things once for all. And I said, Brother Rose, read the rest of the verse. It says, and greater things than these will he show him. He said, thank you. You see, he understood perfectly. He didn't show them all at one time. He said, I'm going to show you. He wakeneth mine ear morning by morning. And so, if I had told you anything that's wrong, discard it. But if I have told you what the Scripture says, then be like the Bereans and accept it and believe it. Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that there is one who obeyed all thy commands. The Father hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. We are thankful that while possessing these divine attributes, he, as the perfect obedient man, cast himself upon thee, and would not draw upon his own resources, but only would take from thee as it was your will to give. We thank you for this marvelous manifestation. We thank you, our Father, for the one whom thou didst send from heaven. We could not know him apart from thy Spirit revealing him to us, but he has revealed him to us. And we know this much, that we are sinners and that he was sinless. And we have the sentence of death in ourselves, and he was the Prince of Life. And yet, Christ also at once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We are thankful that we know this much about him, and we look forward to learning more about him in eternity. Until then, Father, let us see Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.